a couple of years ago, you had written a book called Undone is Beautiful. And I was reading that book and then read very soon after that that you had been diagnosed with cancer for, I think, your third time.
Yes.
And that seemed so serendipitous that here you had just finished this book and now you had become a little undone. So to say it lightly, so tell me about that process of finishing that book, of getting that next diagnosis, and then what's been happening in the last couple of years.
Yes, I finished writing the book after the first diagnosis with cancer and after we took those three children into our family. And so the initial writing of the book, Undone, was me trying to make peace with this life that didn't look quite like I thought it would. You know, here I was, a cancer survivor for the first time. I now had six children that were, you know, individuals, complicated individuals, just like we all are. And so, you know, I wrote that book just in my efforts to try to make peace with this very unexpected life, not knowing that once the book was done, I would be diagnosed with cancer for a second and then a third time. And so, you know, it was so interesting. In fact, the third diagnosis came just a few months before the book released. And so on the day the book came out, I was far too sick to even get out of bed. I literally slept through the entire launch of my first book, and which was completely the opposite of what any first-time author dreams of. You know, it's supposed to be this big, huge event that you get to celebrate. You've worked so hard. And yet here I found myself in literally the most undone place I've ever been while my book Undone is finally hitting the shelves. Mm-hmm. And it was a very introspective day and several months following the release of that book as I had to realize on an entirely new level my dependency on God, and that any good that he brought out of that book would literally have to come from his hand because I couldn't do a thing about it.
And that's why as I read this new book, I Am, it really seemed like this confirmation as if you were almost creating these signs across it. I'm just visioning signs across your room saying, you know, this is who God is. And I know this because of what I've been through. And it seemed like such a confirmation of really what you'd written in Undone, except now you were kind of revisiting that in a new way.
Yes, definitely a new way. Because what happened was, you know, I wrote Undone as more of a status of my internal self, you know, working through questions about faith and life and family and all of that. But I Am was written after that very undone life took a physical toll. So now I am physically different. I speak different. I look different. Cancer has so altered me, so dramatically altered me, that now I'm having to come to terms with this kind of undoneness that's on the outside of me. And we live in a culture that, as much as we want to deny it, our culture very much bases a person's value on their appearance, their contributions, their ability to work hard and achieve some kind of success. And here I found myself after cancer for the third time with very little ability to contribute to my world. I mean, I could barely function, let alone do anything of some kind of worldly worth. And so that really started to expose in me how I had unwittingly built my sense of identity around very temporal things. Hmm. You know, as someone who was raised in the church and had known Jesus my whole life, I knew how to give the right answer. If somebody asked me where my identity was based, I'd say, oh, my identity is in Christ. I mean, that rolls off the tongue really nicely, right? But the reality of what that looks like living out day after day is much more difficult. And what I discovered when cancer caused me to look and sound and function so differently is that I had, in fact, built my sense of worth on what I could do, on what I could contribute, on my goodness, on my abilities, on my talents. And God showed me very clearly that if you can lose it, it's not who you are, that you and I were never meant to build an identity. We were simply meant to receive it. Our identity has already been given and established. We simply have to receive it. And that's great news for us because no matter what happens, we can't lose our value because it's based in who he is, not who we are.
when you make a career, or your career is about kind of being in front of people, being heard, creating an impression, sometimes people get this impression that, well, you look like you have it all together. How has this experience of, losing your ability to speak the way that you used to, you said you don't look the same, you don't feel the same inside or out. How has that changed as that impression to think that you have it all together maybe has been blown apart?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you said that so well. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I now can't hide my brokenness anymore. I think we all become very skilled at times at minimizing the parts of us that we don't want people to see. We are very adept at picking and choosing what we want the world to know about us, and we're good at hiding that. And now, unfortunately, I can't hide it anymore. And in some ways, it's a very exposing thing. In another way, it's extremely freeing, because what I have discovered on this identity journey is that part of knowing who we really are is embracing both the good and the bad about ourselves. You know, embracing the fact that we are saved, we are rescued, we are found by God, we are loved by God, but also embracing the fact that we're sinful, we're broken, we're proud, we're weak, and all of those different aspects about who we are. When we can own all of it in the light of God's grace and redemption, that's when we're finally truly free to be ourselves. And so, in a strange way, I now carry on the outside of me what we all carry on the inside. And that's just our broken, fallible, mortal flesh that needs to be redeemed by an eternal God.
What kind of reactions have you received that you really didn't anticipate in this new state that you live life in?
Well, I've received, of course, lots of kind, wonderful, just gracious responses. But at the same time, I've also received criticism. I've received pushback from people who don't want to listen to somebody who has a lisp. We have a hard time. Getting close to people who are different than us. People that reveal to us that life is not perfect. And so there are those people who don't want to listen to somebody speak who sounds different. I have a number of people, in fact, almost every time I do a speaking event anywhere, I have at least one person, if not a half dozen or more, people come up to me that want to offer me cures to fixing myself. We have such a desperate need to fix everything that's broken. And so people will not listen to the message of what God's trying to speak. Instead, they just see something that needs to be fixed. And so they desperately want to come up to me and let me know how to cure myself and make myself whole again. And I find all of that very fascinating about the human condition, right? That we are so uncomfortable with any kind of discomfort that our first inclination is to resolve it. And yet I have found that pain and suffering, discomfort has become one of the greatest gifts in my life.
I circled a portion of one of your journal entries that you printed in your book. It says, God, it's tough coming to terms with this new me. I miss my old life, the healthy and strong version of me. What are you up to? How will you use this? I need to know or see that there's greater good and purpose. Otherwise, it's just an endless sense of loss and meaningless. You know, how did you find that he would answer those prayers so that you would know he was listening?
In very surprising and beautiful ways, very ordinary ways. I think we sometimes look for God to send a sky filled with fireworks, right? We want some big show, some big display that where he shows himself. But what I have come to discover is the way that God has given me opportunities in places like coffee shops with the barista, who is in a place of grief and suffering herself. And because of my story, I have this strange ability to connect with a stranger in about 30 seconds because of our mutual places of pain. You know, it's beautiful how perfection does nothing to create opportunities for connection. But pain and suffering and our struggles create almost instant camaraderie with other people, almost instant. And it's been amazing to me the number of strangers that I've had encounters with in random everyday places where we get to exchange stories, and I see God's ability to shine light and encouragement on a life simply because of my pain. Mm. And every time he does that, it redeems a little bit of what's been lost.
You know, Michelle, even as you open your book, you just talk about how we can understand our identity by knowing the story of creation and who God yes. has made us to be, what that says about him. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, you know, you know the value of a piece of art many times. You attribute the value of a piece of art based on who the artist is. And, you know, there's, I talk in the beginning of I Am about Van Gogh's Starry Night, and it's worth something like $100 million or something. I can't even remember how much, but it's just worth so much because he's an artist, a genius who knew what he was doing. And yet we forget so many times that we were created as well. We were created by the master artist who was somehow able to create this beautiful planet with billions of people who are all completely unique and different and individual. It's mind-blowing to consider it. And yet we work so hard to try to be conformed to everybody else. I mean, you think of styles and fashions and haircuts and appearance and plastic surgery and everything else and the vast amounts of money that's spent on that. And we're working so hard to be different than who we are. But gosh, if somebody took Van Gogh's Starry Night and tried to throw different paint on it to make it like something else, it would completely ruin the value of this one-of-a-kind work of art. And so what would happen if you and I started to see ourselves in that light and started to see that our uniqueness, our differences, whatever, actually communicated something about the artist, the creator who made us?